Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another installment of Sheridan TV. My name is Johnny, and as always, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate you joining us. I just cut off the music. I apologize. So we're music free now. I'm joined by Dan and Mark today. I'm going to be chatting a little bit about the current markets and income trading and a little bit of market movement that we've had last couple days, just a wee bit. So if you have any questions for Mark or Dan while we work through this content, go ahead and use the chat box right under the video box there. Good morning, Rick G. Lee, George, guest 4,743.25. Welcome, welcome. Any questions you have, any comments, throw it into the chat. I do look at it, even if it doesn't look like it sometimes. Mr. Sheridan, Mr. Fenton, welcome.
My question is, we have Mark on here today. My question is for everybody viewing, how many people think John Shankle should be like a disc jockey? He's got that smooth kind of...
Smooth.
You know, that kind of like... who's the guy that said... trying to think of... He could be like... Lou Rawls or something.
Lou?
He's got kind of that smooth...
Lou Rawls.
Smooth voice.
Get your Google going if you're young out there.
Get your Google moving.
I still remember it. I'm telling you, I never heard of Lou Rawls.
Yeah.
And then when he got famous, I still remember this. I don't know if anybody remembers this. You can put in there. I was watching some award show, and he was choking on an apple, but finished the song.
What?
And it was like got him all this publicity. Not that he wasn't good before, because he's got that.
But the man can choke on an apple while still performing.
I mean, how many guys can sing like
that's
that?
That's right.
You'll never find another love like mine. I think he did a song like
oh,
that.
Oh, no.
So, folks,
Velvet Fog.
You may ask why Mark and I are on together, because with the way the market's moving, you know, I'm brilliant enough, but I think to get someone else brilliant like Mark, two minds to figure out exactly. So today we're going to tell you exactly why the market went down, exactly what it's going to do next, and exactly how all of you can make a fortune by tomorrow at lunch.
Wow, awesome.
Right? I mean, we're just going to, I mean, that's what we do. We want you to just love us, and we want to love you. You sound like Nani. Who's that guy or one of those guys? And Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
All right. Let's maybe just start with general on the market, and then we'll zero in maybe a couple ideas. What's your assessment of this madness?
Well, obviously we've had more sellers than buyers.
Well, that's stinking deep. You must be from St. Louis to come up with that kind of brilliant. See, folks, Mark's from St. Louis. They tell you exactly. They tell you exactly what it is.
That's right.
Increasing bond rates, but a lot of things are. They haven't really made sense. I mean, I understand that the bonds were going down before this happened. Rates were getting higher, so interest rates would go higher. And they used that. And I know you and I have talked about this. Yeah. And sooner or later, the market was going to take something probably innocuous and make it an excuse for the sell-off, which they finally have done.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think that there's any really bad news here. It's just that the market's up so high, it was time, you know, for a pause to refresh. But whenever you're up this high, parabolically high, that's a big pause. And I think that's all we're seeing. I don't think that the market's got a big structural problem or that we're going to go down forever. I don't know how long the selling's going to last. I don't think anybody should be stepping in there catching the falling knife.
Yeah.
But I just don't I don't think there's any major problems. I think it's just all part of cleaning some things out a little bit.
How overdue were we? For a correction?
Yeah, and it's not Donald's fault that we're down 2 days.
You know, Dan, I heard the other day that the amount the Dow was down at the Black Friday was, I think, 600 and something points.
Yeah.
In 87, which was a 22% market decline, as opposed to a 1,500, which was like a 2% market decline. That's just how high this market is, you know?
Yeah, you said, and throwing on that just a couple quick points. You know, when you look at, I think there were approximately 18, you know, if you look at when we had the high in the market was a week ago Friday, January 26th, which was a week ago Friday, we hit 2872. But if you just pause there for a second, I got a chart up here. Can you see this, Mark?
No, no, Mark can't. No.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I got skills, but not that crazy.
All right. You do have skills. So I've got a chart up here, Mark, of, specifically what happened in January, the price chart, but we're showing if you go all the way up from, the highs or from down, the annotation is gone. Jen, you may have to fix this. This thing's going out of control, this annotation here.
Okay.
Whatever, I hit the wrong. Let me just see something here. All right. You see what I'm saying? Wherever I move this thing, yeah. Jen, it's like paint. It's like haunting me. So you can come over and fix it or somebody. But the point is, for January, leading up to the all-time highs on January 26th, we had 18 trading days. 18 trading days. Of those, 9 or 10, a little more than half, moved 18 points basically up, right? Except for maybe one down day in the SPX. And you say, well, Dan, what does that mean? Same thing happened in 2008. When you get a lot of volatility, and 18 points up in the SPX is like 1.5 standard deviations. When you get that kind of speed, it's usually a precursor of more volatility. It's like a precursor of, it's like a volcano ready to erupt. Now, did I know or did any of us know which way it was going to go? No, it could have gone 500 points up or 300 points down or whatever. But the point is, the best indicator that I saw as far as what was happening is just the speed was picking up. And we talked about it a lot. Even though, and it's hard to measure volatility, isn't it, Mark, on the upside, because you have a low VIX number relatively, but we're going up 18 points, 18 points. And like when you pull that rubber band far enough, it's just like, Katie bar the door that the snake turned the other way. And just to just, just one little point to show how useless financial journalists are. When I was in the pit for 20 years, financial journalists would call up and they say, well, why is the market down today? Or why is the market up? Because they need a reason, right? Whether it be Wall Street Journal or Reuters. And we'd give them some reason. But, like you said, I think 99% the reason exactly why we're down is exactly what Mark said, right? We've been going up fast. We've been going up a lot and was due to come down. There's a guy, Mark, his name is Jason Zweig, in Section B of the Wall Street Journal today. And I'll just read one paragraph. But this just gives you the genius of these financial analysts and this whole inflation wage thing. He says, market commentators are already arguing that stocks were bound to fall because interest rates are rising and inflation is sure to jump as the economy heats up. But a week or two ago, before stocks stumbled, analysts were saying just as glibly that moderate increases in interest rates and inflation were good for stocks. So these same idiots that were saying that the inflation and wages are the reason we went down, these same baboons, right, were saying the same reasons why we were going up. And so, what's the lesson? Don't listen to these idiots, right? I mean, I think the overall thing is like what Mark said. I think, until something, major happens, or on the down, I still think the economy, everything's kind of going in the right direction. What happened the last 3 days is, again, you have this tremendous speed in January to the upside. And, the rubber band was being pulled far enough. It either was going to continue, but how many up 18 days in SPX could you get?
Yeah.
And when it started going the other way, this is normal speed to the downside. And I think where people are wigged out, everybody thought we could go down. But, no one's used to the downside. And over the last 3-4 years, this has been like, living in Hawaii in your little bikini or your shorts. Jenny rolls his eyes when I said that, bikini and the shirt. I didn't picture you in a bikini, Jen. Picture you or Mark in a bikini. But the point is this. The point is this. Most people, life is not... This has been, the market's gone up for 2-3 years. It's been a paradise for a lot of people, especially bullish trades like put credit spreads and covered rights. And this is just kind of a rude awakening. Mark, let's switching turns here. What would be your, as far as you individually, as you're looking at the market right now, are they giving out money right now? Should everybody just tell their wives they're gone for 2 days and just jump in with the bathing suit into the market? Or what's your things as far as what trades would you do today, if any? What's your thoughts on how you're looking at the market right now in terms of opportunity?
Well, I think if you were going to do any trades right now, they would have to be very small, very limited risk. Yeah, maybe selling puts in a stock you're willing to own at the level you sold them. Maybe earnings plays, you know, something that's not really correlated as much to what this market's doing. Or maybe you found a stock that you really like, could have been beaten down in this oversold market and you like it. That's a good time to get along that or sell puts below it. But as far as a lot of what you and I talk about, non-directional plays, I want to see, before I even do a butterfly, I want to see the VIX in the low 20s, maybe a couple of days or even lower, and some normalcy return to the market. This is not the time to get in there and sell straddles and try to be the clever guy who sold volatility at level.
Yeah, no, let's get
you hurt.
Mark, let's expand on that. So for people would say, hey, Mark, you know, VIX is at 36. Oh, what an opportunity. I don't want to be left behind. What do you say to those people?
Well, I had somebody today write and ask me about buying VIX puts. So, you know, if you're willing to lose all the money you spent on them, then that's fine, you know, because you might. It might work for you. Yeah. But if it doesn't work, I mean, I'd rather a person be, honestly, a buyer of options in this environment than a seller of options.
Interesting.
Reasonable things where there's bargains. Of course, I say, Mark, wait a minute, volatility is really high. Well, I don't want to buy. Well, you're going to have to find something maybe volatility hasn't beat up as much where you can get a decent price on an option. Because buyers of options in this market know exactly how much they can lose. Sellers, if you don't have something backing behind it, can lose a lot more, even if you do. So that's my concern about that.
Good point. So let's just take an example here. I'm just going to look at just so we can have a visual here. I'm looking at a March 29. Oh, you can't see my screen, right?
That's correct. I can't.
No, but you can shout it out.
Oh, I'm just looking. If you're near your screen, Mark, I'm just looking at like March 29 in SPX Iron Condor. So that's 51 days out. And what I'm trying to illustrate is maybe look at an Iron Condor example, but try to address this question of, hey, VIX is at 36. If we sell it, right, what would kind of talk through that? Really what I'm going to do is lower the volatility and see how price move and volatility work together. Now, if someone's willing to do a put credit spread or a covered right or something that's just bullish, no risk on the upside, yeah, if the VIX goes down, which means the market would go up, it's a bonanza, right? You hit the lottery. But if the market goes down another 80 points, you know, you're out there with a bad, you know, I remember watching guys when I was in my teenage years with a bottle of Mad Dog 2020 walking around in the alley kind of talking to themselves, right? And so it's, do you really want to step into the market now and take a shot? Only if, like Mark said, is a well-defined risk trade. And Mark, if I look here, I'm just going to look at an Iron Condor. And I just want to illustrate something. So if I sell, let's see what we got here. I'm just going to go real quick just to illustrate this whole issue about volatility versus if we have a spread with risk in two directions. Obviously, if you put a put credit spread and the market goes up and volatility goes down, you make money from price and volatility, right? But that's a directional trade. So let's just say here, I'm in the March 29 expiration, that's 51 days out, and I sell the, I'll just do like a 15 Delta Iron Condor. I'm gonna sell the 2820s on the upside, I'll just make a quick point here, folks, and I'm gonna buy the 2830s. So I'm going to sell a 15 Delta call. And what does it mean when you do an Iron Condor, which is an out-of-the-money call credit spread, out-of-the-money put credit spread? If you're doing it in a high-vol environment, all it means is you get, what's the difference between doing an Iron Condor today with VIX at 30-something or a couple weeks ago when VIX was, you know, 11? It means you get a little better credit, but you get a lot more room on your short strikes. Right, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm looking here, so step one, folks, I sell a 15 Delta call in the March 29 expiration, 51 days out, and the 2820 call is approximately 200 points out of the money. There's no way you could sell a 15 delta call 2 weeks ago on a 51 day iron condor and get 200 points on the upside, right? So what is one of the benefits of doing an iron condor when VIX is 37? You're going to get a lot more room, but because it looks like the world can end, you need a lot of room, right?
Right.
And if you go on the put side, a 15 delta would take you down to 2290. So 2290 on the put side takes you approximately, 2290 on the put side takes you approximately 330 points down on a 51 day iron condor, right? Now, does that make it, you know, a lot, you know, does that make it potentially more palatable, right? Yes, right? So in other words, we're saying, here's a graph. If I do an iron condor today with the price at, let me get my marker here. So we're right here at 26.31. I'm coming in at a 50, whatever I said, one day iron condor. My short strike is going to be the 28.20s. It's 200 points up, right? And when a couple of weeks ago when VIX was 11, we were lucky if we get 60, 70 points up. Right, Mark? And then on right. On the downside, we're selling the 2290s, which are like in the Bahamas, right? 2290 and we're at 2631. So we got like 340 points. So do we have a lot of room? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just a little delta short, which is fine. 8 delta short on 10 contracts, right? And so people look at this. So, but what I'm saying is, what would it take to get, Mark, VIX is 37. What do you think it would take to get SPX is 26.32, VIX is 37. For us to get about 24, 25, 12 points down in the VIX with SPX at 21.31, what would SPX have to be at? Give me a number.
You mean for us to have that much of a VIX drop, I think the SPX is going to have to drop. Probably going to have to do a 2 or 3 standard deviation up move, don't you think, or not?
Easy, easy. Yeah. Right. So SPX would probably be up 100 points at 27. Right. And it could do that in 1 or 2 days. That's a problem. Right.
Sure.
And so if we just look at this, so let's do a couple things, folks. If I look at this graph, right, I'm just a few delta short and I say, look at on the graph. If we go up to 100 points to 2730 on 10 iron condors, it says here, I'm losing about $1,300, right? So I'm losing $1,300 at 2730, which would be 100 points up. And let's just put it, let's be reasonable about this. I'm going to put Feb 8th here, right? So between now and Feb 8th, in this environment, that's not unreasonable, Mark, would it be?
No, no.
Right? So if we go up 100 points between now and Feb 8th, 3 days at 2730, we would be down, 1,255. Now, say, Dan, if we go to 1250, if we go up 100 points in 3 days, I lose 1255, what do you think the vol would come down? All right, if we went up 100 points in 3 days, how many points should I take off the VIX, Mark?
If we lose 100 points in 3 days?
If we go up 100 points in SPX, so if we go up 100 points in 3 days, what would you say the VIX would come down?
I think we might be at 18 or 20.
If we're at 37, how about let's settle at 22?
Okay.
Would that be fair? All right.
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking down about 15 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it come down, but yeah, it could come down 15 points. So I just put, that's a big move up. But let's just say if we go down 15 points and we're up 100 points, let me see, this says at 2730. Well, this says at 2730, we'd be up $2,200. So, but that's with, folks, if we're up 100 points, would we be back to 22? I don't know. That seems like a big, if we did that, yeah. So what's the, so yes, if volatility decreases 15 points and we go up 100 points in SPX, the more I think about it, just because the last 2 days have been big moves, I think 15 in such a short period of time might be a lot, right? But all we're getting at is, at some point there is, if you have a spread like an iron condor with risk in both directions, the price move can offset quite a bit of the volatility move, right? Now, obviously, if we get 15 points down in the VIX, that's dramatic. But the only way that you're really going to slay the dragon and make money on volatility and the price move up in the SPX is if you do like a cash secured put or a covered right or a put credit spread. But to jump in right now after two of the most horrific days in the history of civilization, just because we're a little more quiet today, I don't know. I don't have the courage to do something like that. Mark, what do you think?
I don't either.
I think Mark and I are both saying for the income trades that we normally do, we would just either go very small or, you know, for the most part, we just kind of wait this week through. I mean, I don't have a problem with small trades. My biggest concern, as I noticed yesterday and today, even
Dan, just a second, I just want to let you know I have to answer the door. I have a delivery man here, but go ahead.
All right. Did you order pizza or what'd you get?
No.
The biggest thing I would be concerned about with just yesterday is the execution. So it's not so much, if you say to me, we're going to move 50, 60 points in the SPX today, but the market makers are going to keep tighter markets and I can get decent execution, I got no problem. But the problem was yesterday was a disaster with execution. Spreads were all over the place. So,
well, that's it. I mean, even folks are commenting they couldn't even get filled.
Right.
You know, yeah. as you're having a massive sell-off, it can, yeah.
Absolutely.
It can be very difficult to get your orders in.
Well, Mark, because you're from St. Louis, we're going to give you the last words here. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, let's be careful out there. Don't be the guy waiting in there trying to sell volatility here. Limited risk, small trades, and things you know well, things you like, things you're willing to maybe sit there a little bit with if you get in too early.
Yeah. Just
there you got it.
Yeah, be patient. All right, thanks, Mark. We'll let you go to the door. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks. And Johnny will
talk a
little.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it, bud.
Johnny will talk a little bit. We got some new classes coming up. New class starting next week. I got on a double calendars. I may, just because we're in a unique environment, we're basically turning into a more volatile environment. And I may expand the, you know, I'm thinking about it. We're on double calendars for next week. And I may expand it a little bit to just touching on trading in a high, you know, just make it applicable, trading some of these strategies in a high volatility environment, which we haven't had in a while. So just an opportunity to do that. So I may, it's scheduled to be double calendars. And I may, you know, just expand it a little bit, just with the theme trading for income in a volatile market. I think this would be considered a volatile market. So
I think this would be considered that. Yes.
Yeah. Look forward to it. All right, Jenny.
Awesome.
Take the ball.
Well, as Dan said, there's a couple different events coming
up. Also mentioned the Chicago seminar, too.
Yeah, that was going to be the first one I actually talked about. If you guys scroll down to the bottom of Sheridan TV, you'll actually see a nice little banner there in purple for our two-day Chicago seminar, as you can see here. And the two-day seminar is going to be May 31st and June 1st of this year. It's a two awesome-day event, probably 13 speakers. That come in and share exactly what they're using and what they're doing to generate themselves income every month. So you'll get to experience that, as well as probably being about, I don't know, 125 or so people there that you'll be able to interact with. And there's a dinner boat cruise on Thursday night. We provide lunch for you guys both days on Thursday and Friday.
Love boat.
The love boat. Captain Steubing. Captain Steubing will be there.
Yeah, Captain Steubing.
He will be there, hat in hand. So definitely a great couple days. And then, of course, on our homepage, there's also a free webinar coming up tomorrow, as Dan said. And then there's a new online class starting the 30th. You can learn more about both of those right on the homepage slider there.
Oh, yeah, the free class tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about the market.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dan will be talking more about the market in the free webinar tomorrow. So you'll want to make sure to check that out. And then, of course, any other questions that you have or inquiries that you have, just send them over to us. Email here at info@sharedmentoring.com or give us a call at 800-288-9341. We love to talk options. Thank you. We appreciate you joining us today. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, folks, for joining us. And we will see you on Thursday for another installment of Sheridan TV.